This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if this is your first visit to the podcast, welcome. This is the home of Ironman triathletes that dream of qualifying and racing in the Ironman World Championships on the Big Island. We chat to age groupers, guys and girls just like you, who are working, they've got families, and put in the work it takes to qualify and race in Kona. We get to share another fantastic story today as we head, as we recorded, we head to Florida, but originally home, I should say, is in Chicago, in Illinois, and it's a great pleasure to welcome James Harrington onto the podcast today. I think you are going to get tons out of James' story. Pretty busy lifestyle, married with two kids, and on the road a lot for work as well, so we'll chat extensively about that. But before we get into my chat with James, a massive thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you are looking for wheels for your bike, look no further than Wheel Science. They've done some independent testing and you can get all the results on their website. They've put themselves up against some of the biggest brands in the world and they've come out, you'll see, right amongst them. All the performance that you get on the big brand wheels, you get on Wheel Science. The only difference is you get the Wheel Science wheels at half the price. So definitely check them out if you are looking for new wheels. It's a way for you to support us as well here at the Kona Edge. So go check them out. All you need to do is head over to this URL. I've made it pretty easy for you. Just go to thekonaedge.com/wheels. The link is below this podcast as well in the podcast player you're listening to it to. And if you use the checkout code Kona Edge, that's Kona Edge. If you use that coupon at checkout, Peter and Joe Coombe will give you 10% discount as well. So that's a huge plus for being a loyal listener to the Kona Edge. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's where you can get all those details. Let's head straight into my chat now with James Harrington. Welcome on to the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. And it's a pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, James Harrington. James, welcome onto the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
James, it's great to catch up. I love chatting to people who've been around the sport for a short while and are really excited. You've been around the sport for a long, long time and have performed at the top level for quite a while as well. I think your first visit to the Big Island was 10 years ago, a decade ago, if I recall correctly, after the research I've done on you. What does it take to race at this level for that long?
Yeah, you're right. It was 10 years ago and going back this October and celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary because we got married, my wife and I, right after Kona 10 years ago in 2008. So looking forward to going back again this year. And, you know, it's been an up and down through the years, but I enjoy the training so much that I think if you don't enjoy the training, then it's going to be real difficult to go out and perform. But you know, I like it. I enjoy it. You know, the ups and downs through the years, and I've been very fortunate, knock on wood, to, you know, have relatively few injuries, which allows me to stay pretty consistent through the years. So that's been a huge benefit for me.
You said the word that I've picked up. I mean, I'm nowhere near your sort of level of triathlete, but the word that I pick up from athletes whenever I speak to somebody is consistent and consistency. Is that the secret to staying at that level for that long?
I think so. I mean, I know that when I first started back in triathlons in 2005, you know, I wasn't probably very consistent for the first few years. I had a lot of ups and downs and I'd have huge training blocks and then I'd fall way back and just, I mean, I was new to the sport and didn't know, but I kind of realized through just self-coaching, you know, listening to my body, learning, reading articles, things like that, that, you know, the consistency was really key, especially in the running side of it and the biking side of it. I'm probably not the best to speak about the swimming side of it because that's probably the one where I don't keep up consistently. But on the running and the biking, I think that's why I've seen the progression over the years and I've gotten better because I've been consistent. I've tried to push myself. But at the same time, take the time to recover. But I don't have massive swings in volume and things like that. I try to keep things consistent over time. And I think that's what has helped to keep me injury free for, you know, quite a few years. I think my last major injury was like 2009. So, you know, I feel good that, you know, my body's been able to hold up. And I think that's a testament to just being consistent and not having that, you know, massive block here and there and stuff like that to where I was really pushing my body to the edge of, you know, being sick or being injured.
Absolutely. James, correct me if I'm wrong, but going back in 2018, you say it's your 10-year anniversary from your first visit. You haven't been back all 10 years. I think this is just number four for you.
No. Yep. Yeah. So this will be number four. Yeah. So I was in 2008 was my first, 2011. And then last year in 17, and then it'll be again this year. I had two children. I had two daughters, one in 2010, one in 2011. And I kind of did a little try. You know, I went in 2011, gave it a little bit of an effort, but with two little kids and traveling a decent amount for work and things like that, it was just too much. So I didn't really do nearly as many races. I you know, I still continued to train, did some Olympics and some halves and stuff like that. But the time and dedication that was needed for the full Ironman, you know, especially on the bike side, because the bike training can get really long. I just didn't really do it. So I didn't do an Ironman from 2012 until 2016. And then I did Louisville in 2016, where I'd qualified for Hawaii in 2017. So I had that kind of, you know, little block in there. And I had a, you know, prior to that, between 2008 and 2011, I had the injury in 2009, which kind of took me out a little bit. I think I was just pushing the body too much too early. And it had injured, took it really easy, really wanted to make sure that I was okay. I had a stress fracture actually in my femur. And I didn't want to rush it back and, you know, be able to not run the rest of my life or anything like that, you know, anything major. So, so that was kind of, you know, the main reason between the blocks there. And now, you know, knock on wood's been good, you know, last year, again, this year, and, I'm actually doing, Wisconsin just 4 weeks before Kona this year. You know, and hopefully I can pick up a slot for the following year as well and see if we can't make it 3 years in a row. So.
That would be amazing. James, talk to me about the balance. You mentioned at that time having to travel a lot for work and having the two young children. You do travel a lot for work. I mean, home is in Chicago and Illinois, but as we're recording this, you're sitting in a hotel room in Florida. You were just telling me before we started recording, you were in Atlanta yesterday. It's hard enough training for this thing when you're at home. How do you do it on the road?
Yeah, I would say sometimes it might be easier because then I don't have to worry about, you know, helping the kids with homework and getting them dressed and getting them ready and things like that. It does take the discipline to say, you know what, the colleagues are going to go out and have a couple of drinks or whatever else and grab a dinner. And, you know, I'll make sure I get my workout in and, you know, maybe I'll join them later. Maybe I won't, but, it takes that discipline, especially when you get a little bit closer, a couple months out from, you know, race time. Because I probably travel 60% of the time, maybe 70% of the time sometimes. So it's not uncommon for me to do, you know, a 2 hour exercise bike ride in the hotel exercise bike. And, I'm pretty good about searching the websites and seeing where I can find exercise bikes and stuff like that. I can run pretty much anywhere, you know, so I feel pretty comfortable with that. But really making sure I can get the bike rides in and stuff like that. I kind of travel to the same, you know, 5 to 6, 7 cities. So I kind of have an idea of the hotels and what the workout facilities are like and things like that. And I don't come down to Florida very often, but hoping that I can actually, you know, get a nice open water swim in tonight and you know, work on the swim a little bit too, because that's one thing that's difficult with the travel schedule. So, you know, I keep pull cords in my you know, suitcase, and I tie those around the bathroom door. And a lot of times my swim workout is really just pull cords and stuff like that, because a hotel pool that's probably only about, you know, 15 feet long probably isn't going to be the best for swim practice. So.
It's funny you say that. I recall an interview that I did here on the podcast, and I think it was with Chris Montross, who was telling me he's an airline pilot, and he's also in different cities all the time, and he swims in the hotel pools with a tether. So there's a bit of something for you to test out, see if that works for you. But that takes a different type of mental strength. I tell you what, an hour long pool swim in a hotel with a tether, you can have it. Thanks. I'll leave that one to you. You let me know how that works out for you.
I agree. I would pass on that as well.
James, let's take a step back before life in triathlon. I almost want to say before life was normal, but triathlon is normal. Let's be honest. Were you pretty active growing up as a kid? So were you pretty sporty?
You know, I did a little bit off and on through through high school. I ran cross country and track a little bit. You know, not anything that I wouldn't call it real serious. I mean, I was okay. I wasn't great by any means. I actually tried wrestling one year because one of my science teachers was a wrestling coach, and he needed somebody at the lightest weight, which was 103 pounds. And I was probably about 90 or 92 pounds. And, you know, I tried it, and actually I hurt my back really bad, and only did it for about a half a year. And after that, I was like, you know what, I'll stick to maybe something that's a little less physical. Not that running isn't physical, but, you know, contact wise, maybe. And so I, you know, kind of stuck with the running. I ran a little bit off and on through college, not a whole lot, you know, did like general hiking, things like that, skiing, you know, stuff. I wouldn't say I really was doing anything until really I was actually doing my MBA, and one of my teammates actually, or team members in my class, had done some triathlons and did quite a bit of running and stuff like that. And he knew that I was kind of trying to pick up the running again. And he said, you know what, you should try a triathlon. And, you know, I thought about it, and I was like, well, let me go see. I said, you know, I knew the pool was going to be the worst. So I went out to the pool, and I tried to swim lengths of the pool, and I could make it, you know, about one length of the pool without dying. And, you know, being out of breath, because when I learned to swim, it was just the play swim when you're a kid. You know, I never took swim lessons, you know, nothing like that, nothing formal. So the swim was difficult part for me to pick up. My first triathlon, I thought I was going to drown. I mean, I remember flipping over on my back and, you know, just looking up at the sky, trying to catch my breath, and, you know, trying to make sure that I could get through the swim. And if I could get through the swim, then I knew I'd be just fine on the bike and just fine on the run. And I would say that's probably, you know, even today, I mean, I just try to get through the swim. I'm not the fastest swimmer, but I try to get through the swim, and then, you know, bike's a little bit better. And I'm the kind of person that can't wait to get off of the bike and onto the run, because I love running. So, you know, that's kind of been consistent from my first one all the way over to my last one. It's like the swim, I'm comfortable now. I don't, you know, the crowds, the people, the back and forth, that part doesn't really bother me anymore. I'm comfortable with that aspect of it, but I'm just not the fastest swimmer. And it's really just because his time is hard to dedicate to it. And I feel like I could, if I do the dedication of time in the swim or in the bike and the run, you know, my overall time is probably better from that perspective than if I were to put a lot of time into the swim, which is just difficult to do.
Looking back, talking about it now, looking back to that first one and how you struggled in the swim, how proud are you of what you've been able to achieve in the sport? I mean, it must be an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I've been very proud of it. Yeah, it's been a great, awesome experience. It's been great to be able to share it with my two daughters and my wife. And, you know, my kids get out there and they want to try their first triathlon. So, you know, really the only ones in Chicago area, most of them are in Lake Michigan, which can be a little daunting, can be a little cold, can be a little choppy and stuff like that. So I'm trying to hold them back maybe one more year before I throw them into what could possibly be a really cold and choppy swim. Cause they're only 6 and 8. So, I think maybe if I can hold them off for one more year, but you know, they love being active and they love the sport. And, I love when they come out and cheer for me. It's such an inspiration to be able to come around corners and see them. And, you know, I can always hear them. And, you know, they were really involved in the training, even from when they were really little. I mean, I had a trailer, and when I had one of them, I would, you know, push them, and I could also hook it up to the bike. And, you know, when I had one, and then when I had two of them, I got a trailer where the two could sit side by side. And, up until about, you know, maybe two summers ago, I could do that. But now that they're both in that 40 to 50 pound range, and the stroller itself weighs about 40 to 50 pounds, you know, pushing around 150 pounds is more than what I weigh. So, it's a little bit difficult to do it nowadays, but that was a great opportunity, and they love being outside. And, you know, when we were in Vegas originally, that's where we moved from, you know, they just liked being outside. being in the outdoors, probably had more opportunity to go outside in Vegas because you could pretty much go year round. Even in the summer, if you went early in the mornings and stuff and it wasn't too hot. Chicago, we're limited a little bit more to the summers and stuff, but they still always enjoyed just getting outside. And as I was running, you could hear them talking in the stroller back and forth to each other, just having a good time. Or maybe they would fall asleep and take a nap. And then it also, you know, got me some spousal points because then it was, you know, taking the kids away from my wife so she could maybe take a short little nap or relax a little bit. So.
I love that. That's the secret to doing Ironman with two little kids is take them with on training runs and rides. But don't you wish, I mean, looking at them now, don't you wish you had started in the sport at that age?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would, especially the swimming side. And it's funny because my dad actually did swim growing up. So my dad swam butterfly from like 9 years old to like 19. So he swam for like 10 years. And so I definitely wish I had a little bit more of that. You know, I did some of the running in high school and things like that, but man, if I had had just a little bit more, I feel like, oh my gosh, there, you know, I could have had a, you know, a lot more opportunity, especially on the swim side of it. So, but that's all right. I still really enjoy it. And even if I do struggle a little bit with the swim, I get very competitive out there and, I just, you know, really more just pushing myself more than anything else, not really so much about trying to beat person A or person B or anything like that. Really just going out there and doing the best that I can and performing the best that I can. And just enjoying the whole atmosphere and experience of it. So.
I mean, we spoke about the consistency, of getting better over time and you talk about the competitiveness. How much of a role does that play in getting to Kona and not just racing there, but racing at a competitive level over time? Is it a case of just trying to get, like you say, not beating somebody else, but being better than you were last year?
Yeah. I think that's definitely an aspect of it. I mean, I think if you get wrapped up in other people and everything else, it just gets too complicated and you can't control it. And, you know, kind of what I always said was, you know what, the only things I don't want to happen on a race day is hopefully I don't have any mechanical problems, you know, and hopefully I don't have any like digestive problems or anything like that. That's kind of under my control. But, because other than that, whether it's wind or rain or elements or whatever else, I mean, everybody has to fight through the same thing. So, you know, if I have control over everything else, then, you know, I just kind of let it be my day and, you know, take the competition as it will. And, there are plenty of guys out there that are faster on the swim or the bike or the run. But, you know, it's about putting all three of them together, you know, and feeling right on race day and, you know, putting the training to the test. So, you know, and with the consistency and with the workouts and how you plan that stuff. And I think that's something that just happens over time and, you know, learning your body and listening to your body and understanding what you can and can't do in the training sessions, then, you know, allow you to produce on race day. So.
You've obviously improved a lot over the time that you've been in the sport. As far as getting help and trying to improve, are you self-coached? Do you have a coach? What are some of the resources that you dig into when you're looking for help?
Yeah, so I've really been, for the most part, I've been self-coach. Several years ago, I think it was 2010 and 11. I was on the Mark Allen Elite Team for a couple of years and they allowed you to do, kind of a generic training plan. I really didn't do one-on-one or anything like that. And that gave me a little bit of guidance and direction. And then this is my second year on Team Everyman Jack. And they have a relationship with Purple Patch Fitness. So I have been able to do, the online and it's a little bit interactive. So they kind of help you set up your year and do some benchmark tests and things like that. And I've really enjoyed the structure around the bike and the run stuff. You know, the swim has been difficult to keep with the training schedule and, you know, pool access and things like that. But, the bikes and the runs have been very good. And I've been very consistent about keeping up with the schedule and kind of how they structure them. And, and most of the workouts, I probably only ride outside maybe one day a month. Most of them, I've got a compu trainer set up in the basement and I do, Zwift workouts. I'll just do whatever the coach has me doing. I'll actually just build a custom workout, within Zwift. I'll get up at, you know, if I'm home, I'll get up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning so that I can, you know, knock out my, my bike. And if I've got a brick run, I'll do it real quick afterwards. So that way I can then, you know, be into the office before meetings start. And I don't have to worry about the rest of the day getting away from me and stuff. So the structure around those workouts over the last couple of years, I think has definitely helped to, you know, to benefit my fitness over the last few years. And then I've also just made small, you know, changes from like a diet perspective and things like that. And really just trying to, you know, pay more attention to what I'm eating, especially since I do travel so much, it gets difficult, but, you know, more salads, more fish, you know, more vegetables, more fruit, things like that. You know, I'm just trying to stay away from a lot of the other things. And I think that, you know, with the dietary changes, it really does help you so much in the training and recovery aspects.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about Team Everyman Jack. We've had a few athletes over the years on the podcast, and the kit stands out. You can spot it from a mile away. It sounds like an amazing bunch of dudes.
Yeah. Rich does an amazing job from a coordinating and designing and all of that. And the sponsors he works with, it is just absolutely amazing. I don't know how he does all of that along with, running the company. But it's a great group of guys. I knew a guy in Las Vegas when I lived there, Paul Duncan, that was part of the team, you know, obviously saw him at a lot of races. And then I applied for the team and had no idea that, I mean, I actually received a call, scheduled a full interview. I think, you know, I talked with Rich on the phone for probably at least a good half hour to 45 minutes. And it really wasn't so much about the sport. I think he was just trying to learn about what kind of person you were, what kind of brand, you know, how would you represent the brand? And that's really, I think, what it's all about is, you know, how do you represent not just, you know, the Everyman Jack products, but the sponsors that are with that. And then, he does, you know, look for some results and wants you to kind of be up there. So that way, you know, the sponsors are there and stuff. But I think that's secondary. I think he really focuses on trying to have, you know, a good group of individuals. And the team has gotten big, you know, really started there in the Bay Area, but now it's kind of spread out. And even within the Chicago, between Chicago and, Milwaukee, I think we've got probably four guys, I think, on the team now. So, you know, next weekend, I'm actually going to go up and meet a guy who's just outside of Madison, and we're going to ride the Madison course. We're going to ride with a guy who used to be on the team a couple of years ago. So it's just a great, great group of guys. And it's been nice to have that from a training perspective and to see what the guys do back and forth and see what they do not only in training and racing and to bounce ideas off of them and things like that. It's been a great opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's important, particularly in a sport like Ironman, because it can get lonely. And for someone like you who's on the road lots, it helps having that group of like-minded individuals around you, like you say, that you can bounce things off of, you can learn from. And when you're in another city, it's guys you can train with. It really does help. And I say to people getting in the sport is find a group that you can not necessarily train with every day, but that you can hang around with and just sort of soak up as much as you can of the knowledge that's within the sport.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we've got guys from, you know, college age all the way up into the early 50s. So the guys have experience that's, you know, all over the board and have done all kinds of different things. So that definitely adds to it. And you're right. You know, I've gone to different cities and run with guys in Baltimore and been here in Atlanta and done stuff. And, you know, it is great to be able to have somebody to bounce stuff off of locally and have that little extra training carrot out there. So.
Tell me what's going on in the drinking water in Chicago, because there's something brewing in triathlon in that city. What I mean, it's a city. I've never been there, so I don't want to knock Chicago, but I know the winters are brutal, so it doesn't lend itself to training year round. It's also known as the Windy City. So what is it in Chicago that there's this massive triathlon scene?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a fair, so I'm not right in the city. I did live in the city for the first year. So we've been there about 4.5 years. The first year we were actually right downtown in the city, and it's amazing how active that city is, even in the winters. I mean, there's snow on the ground and you'll see people out on the lakeshore path, and, it's a very active city. I'm now about 30 miles out into the suburbs. And quite honestly, you can be out into cornfields riding my bike within probably 5 miles, and all I'll see is cornfields for the next 100 miles. I mean, that's what I rode this last weekend was, you know, 103 miles, and You know, it felt like I maybe only had 100 feet of elevation change because it is pretty flat. But, you know, it was up to probably 90, 95 degrees, humid, a little bit windy. So it can be tough in the summer, but, and a little bit boring, a little bit flat, but, you know, you've got that out there. And then in the winters, like I said, I don't go outside too often. I'll set up the CompuTrainer in the basement and I'm good to go on my workouts. And I think part of that goes back to what you said a little bit ago, it can be a little bit of a lonely sport. And, you know, if you're okay with it, I think a lot of that, if you can go down into the basement and spend 3 or 4 hours on, you know, the trainer and not have it drive you crazy. When you do go outside, gosh, 5 hours outside, being able to look at stuff and having all this stuff going on around you, it can just make the time just fly by. So I think that that aspect helps as well. So.
Seeing people, man, there's people. It's weird. Yeah. James, tell me how you stay fresh mentally, especially because you've been in the sport for as long as you have. It's easy to get burnt out in this sport, but you've managed to stay sane. How have you done it?
Yeah. I try to set smaller goals, especially on the running side of it. There are so many running events, especially around the Chicagoland area, almost year round, really. I try to sign up for small runs here and there, you know, half marathons or, you know, 25 Ks and 20 Ks and 10 Ks and stuff like that, because I think that just kind of helps push me just a little bit harder than I would do on my own and allows me to kind of get outside and, you know, meet some other people and things like that. And, and surprisingly enough, even in the winters, there are a decent number of runs in the Chicago area and it can be pretty cold, but, it's amazing. The Chicago area has a decent number of green areas and parks and bike paths and trails and stuff like that. You know, it's not just that concrete jungle and cars and buildings and stuff like that. So it is nice to have some of those other things. There's a spot that's about, halfway between my office and my house. And, it's like 9.5 miles of crushed gravel through like a forest wooded area that's just beautiful. And I can kind of break up my, you know, horrible Chicago traffic commute and, you know, get a little run in either, you know, on the way into the office, cause we have showers there, or on the way home and kind of break up that drive just a little bit. So I think that's probably what helps keep me a little bit sane. And then, you know, with the races, with the Ironman races, you have to sign them so far in advance now, because things sell out so quickly, that I guess that does kind of help keep you motivated when you're signing up for a race, you know, 11, 13 months in advance. You know, you've got to have some of those smaller races and smaller things to do to kind of keep you motivated throughout the year, because you don't want to try to set yourself up on a 12-month training plan. So,
yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the attraction to Kona. What is it? If I say the word Kona, what sort of brews up inside of you?
Yeah, for me, it's funny. I treat Kona almost as sort of a celebration race. I mean, there's no way I'm going to go there and win my age group. I mean, there are guys that are just way too fast and way out of my league. So for me, it's really about the celebration of what it took for me to get there. You know, I push myself in the race to qualify. I want to go to Kona and I still want to do well. But it's for me, there's not that pressure. There's not the, hey, I need to qualify. Hey, I want to win my age group or that type of thing. So it's really more of a celebration for me. I want to finish, obviously. I still want to perform well, but I think that I just go there and just kind of relish and bring it all in. And it's amazing to see the, you know, professional athletes and even the, you know, the amateurs and everybody else. And I mean, when you see people that are 65, 70, 75 years old, gosh, I hope I'm still alive at that time, let alone being able to, you know, compete, you know, in Kona. So, it's amazing just to see all the different things. And then, you know, going back to, you know, being married there, we got married in 2008, just a couple of days after, finishing Hawaii in 2008. So, you know, it's got a little special spot, you know, in the heart, because that's where my wife and I and just our parents got married on the beach. So it was great. And now we're able to take back our kids and they can enjoy it and stuff. It is a long travel from Chicago. I know a lot of the people travel even further than that. It was a little bit easier on the West Coast, but, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, try South Africa. I was chatting to somebody this morning who's going to Kona, and we literally on the opposite end of the earth. If you had to drill a hole from Kona straight through the core, you would end up the closest landmass is where we are. So it's definitely a long way to travel for us. And you talk about still being alive at 65 and 70. I feel exactly the same way. I mean, I look at those guys. I mean, my dad did his first Ironman at 67, and I mean, just massive respect to somebody who's that age and doing these sorts of things. How many do you think you've still got in you? I mean, you're still young, but it does tax the body. I mean, it's physically, it's hard.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now, I feel good. I enjoy the training. And I think if you enjoy the training and your body's doing okay, then, I mean, I don't know. I don't see an end in sight. You know, I've always said if I had to give things up, I would give up the swim first. I'd give up the bike, and then hopefully I never have to give up running, because I really enjoy running. And, so that would kind of be the order it would be in if I had to. But right now as long as it continues to fit into my schedule and fit into the family life, and you know, my body holds up and everything, I'll keep going as long as I can.
James, you said that Kona's a celebration for you, and you said it quite modestly that you feel you don't have a chance of winning your age group. I mean, you look at your times are decent. I mean, you picked up a top 10 last year, if I'm correct. So, I mean, if you sorted the swim out, worked a bit on the bike and ran a bit faster, you could be right up there. I mean, what do you, if I could wave my magic wand at the end of this, however many years it is down the line, what would you want to have achieved in the sport?
I think having that consistent performance over time, is really the thing for me. You know, I'm a pretty small guy. I'm about, 5'7" ish, race probably 128, 130 pounds. So I'm not a very big guy. So the power that, somebody who's just 15, 20 pounds more than me can put out on that bike, is difficult. And while I've come a long ways on the bike and improved vastly over the years, I think it's just a big leap forward. Now, granted, if my body can hold up and I can keep consistent and keep performing well, maybe I've got a little bit of a shot when I get a little bit older. But then when I look at some of the guys that are in 45 to 49 or 50 to 54 and so on ahead of me, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just amazing athletes. So if I can just be consistent over time and be happy and, continue to enjoy it, that's really what I want. I'm not looking for a certain spot or a certain position or anything like that. Just going out and performing the best that I can and having a good time.
And being blessed and healthy enough to be able to do it. That's, I think, is also key.
Yep.
And who knows, you could outlive everyone in your age group. That might be the key to just standing on that top step.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my strategy to get to the big island. So James, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time.
Sounds good.
What a cool chat. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with James, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. And before I head on home, make sure you check out our sponsor for this edition of the Kona Edge. It was brought to you by Wheelsight. If you are looking for new wheels for your bike, make sure you check out their extensive range. They also build custom wheels as well. So if you're looking for something specific, make sure you get in touch with Peter and the rest of the team at Wheel Science. And the good news is they are also giving you 10% discount as a listener of the Kona Edge. All you need to do is use the URL code Kona Edge, all one word, Kona Edge at checkout, and they'll give you 10% off. Go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's the URL to get to. You can get all the details there. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels, or just click on the link in the podcast player that you're listening to this, or in the show notes to the episode of the Kona Edge as well. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, thanks for listening. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.